Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Excited to bring Paul Hamilton in today, a day after the Sabres announced that they have signed Dylan Cousins to a 7-year, $49-plus million extension. Paul's appearance on WGR is always brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. We did not plan on having Paul necessarily today, but obviously with the extension for Dylan Cousins, it warranted bringing him on. So first, Paul, good morning, I want to say to you. And I think I just asked Evan, he said you've been listening for the last while. You know what we've been talking about. I opened the show today by asking Joe if Jason Botterill deserves a little more credit for, you know, some of the build of this team and the draft picks and the trades that he made. And also we dovetailed that into, you know, what this team, you know, the building with Eichel and where they would be and how all that went about. So whatever you want to chime in on here, I'm just kind of curious of your thoughts of our discussion.
I felt Jason Botterill was a good drafter. I thought he and his staff were good at recognizing young talent. I don't think he was a very good trader, although some trades were forced on him. Ryan O'Reilly trade was told he was told he had to do that. There were some behind-the-scenes things that went on, which I can't get into, that had nothing to do with him, and he was given his marching orders that he needed to be traded. So, you know, he really didn't have a choice there. So there were some things like that that happened, but the coaching was just, I mean, he got two coaches and couldn't have done a poorer job at taking, you know, selecting coaches. I mean, it just didn't work at all. The second one's worse than the first one, and neither one were good. So I think was his huge downfall was the selection of coaches.
He did draft, obviously, Cousins, Samuelson, Dahlin, UPL. We went through, you know, some of these players. And then we get to the trade where Tage Thompson comes in. You just touched on the O'Reilly part of it. What can you tell us revisiting kind of bringing Tage in? If he was he a consolation prize because they couldn't get Thomas? Was he someone they were focused on? What do you know about that?
Yeah, Joe's right. I mean, they did want Thomas and Kyrou first, and there's no question about that. And see, Adams wouldn't do that when he was in trade negotiations for Eichel, so it took a long time, and he didn't care because he told teams, if you want Jack Eichel, this is the player you have to part with, young player. If you don't like that, okay, we'll wait. And Vegas was the first team that blinked. They wanted Krebs. So Vegas was the first team that stepped up and said, okay, you can have the young player you want. And Botterill, you know, he had the restrictions, as Joe said, of the bonus. And you know, the two guys he wanted, he couldn't get, so he got Tage Thompson. I don't think it's a deal where he didn't want Tage Thompson. He just wanted, he kind of had an order. And I mean, Tate Thompson was a first-round pick. He was later in the first round. So it wasn't a deal where – and I don't think Bottrell thought, we need to take Tate Thompson because he's going to be a great centerman.
Right.
You know, I, matter of fact, I can guarantee you that wasn't what he was thinking. That's the kind of thinking Don Granato does. That's the kind of coach Don Granato is. Ralph Krueger never would have thought of putting Tate Thompson in the middle or anything like that. So, you know, first of all, when you're looking at that trade, forget about the two players, Berglund and Sobotka. They had to be part of the deal or you weren't getting the deal. So in order to get the number one pick and a first-round prospect, did they get a second-round pick in that deal too? I'm trying to think back. I believe they did.
They did, yes.
So in order to get that, St. Louis needed help, and it's all right, you have to take Sobotka and Berglund off our hands. So I ignore that part of the trade because that was forced. They didn't want. It's not like they wanted him. They didn't say, hey, guys, we need to have Sobotka part of this team.
Right.
He's got to be part of this deal. No, that was St. Louis saying you got to take him type of a deal. And the trades in that, I want to say day and age, and that wasn't that long. But in that thing, that was done a lot. You know, teams would say, all right, we'll make this trade, but you got to take these guys off our hands because of the salary cap and, you know, type of thing. And that's probably what's done more then than it is done now. But that was – that was the biggest thing as far as, you know, as far as Bottrell went. And the trade turned out to be okay. It turned out – I always say there's nothing wrong with a trade that both teams are happy with.
Of course, right.
You know, of course St. Louis is happy because they got two good years out of O'Reilly. Now he's actually playing worse than he did with the Sabres.
Mm-hmm.
Last year he played about the way he did with the Sabres. This year's worse. He's getting, you know, age hits these guys, and but they got two great years out of him, and he winds up winning him the Stanley Cup and being the Conn Smythe Trophy. So, of course, St. Louis is happy with their end, and now the Buffalo Sabres are happy with their end. We don't know what Ryan Johnson is going to turn into, but we do know even if he were to leave on his own, they will get a second-round pick in return. So instead of it being a first-round pick, it becomes a second-round pick. You know, Johnson being the first round pick, and there's some people I've talked to who don't believe Johnson is first round material anyway. You know that he's going to be a pretty good defenseman, but they wouldn't say he's like first. If they redid the draft, he probably wouldn't be in the first round type of thing. So if you get a second round pick as compensation if he leaves in free agency, I think you're doing fine. So. As it turns out, I think Buffalo is happy with their end right now. St. Louis, of course, was happy with their end, and I think both teams are happy with the trade.
And by the way, Bottrell was not necessarily wrong for wanting Thomas and Kyrou, Paul, because they're both point-of-game players now in the NHL.
Yeah, and it wasn't, okay, now I got to choose somebody. It's like, all right, we like Tage Thompson,
right?
But we're going for Thomas. He's a better player in their eyes at that time. At that time, he probably was. He isn't now, but he was then. And, you know, same thing with Kyrou. You know, at the time, he's a better player. So I understand that, but I don't think it was like, we got to get this done today. Who do we go? Who should we go for, guys? All right, Tage Thompson. Yeah, all right, let's go for him type of thing. And I don't think it was that.
Paul Hamilton on the West Her Hotline. Well, Dylan Cousins, he was a draft pick of Jason Bottrell back in 2019. I was just looking over that draft, by the way. Now, I understand a lot of guys haven't played as many games. Some have, though. Dylan Cousins actually third in that draft class in points, guys, behind only Jack Hughes and Trevor Zegras, which is pretty amazing. Now, a lot of guys, like I said, haven't played as many games, but a lot of guys have played more games. So he's obviously a player that they're very happy with. He's very young, Paul. Slots in right behind Tage Thompson, both in the depth chart and as far as salary. What do you know about how this got done and, you know, where they ultimately landed?
Well, first, it's interesting that you bring that up because going into the draft, Dylan Cousins was considered the number three prospect. So the Sabres were shocked that he was there at seven. Kirby Dach went to Chicago at three, and he has since been traded. The Blackhawks gave up on him. I can't believe they gave up on him so early in his career, but they did.
He's actually right behind Cousins with 92 points, but he has played 40 more games.
Right. So Dach went. And that dropped Cousins down to the Sabres where most people thought that's where Cousins was going to go. now we know why. As we've seen him play, you know, he's worthy of being the number three overall pick. And said all along, this is what he's going to do. Draft well, develop the talent, and pay your own guys. He's not going into unrestricted free agency, giving 29-year-olds seven-year contracts or six-year contracts or that type of thing. And he's right not to believe in that, because I think that's a complete disaster to build your team that way. And but he couldn't prove it. You know the old saying, talk's cheap. And he needed to prove it not only to the fans but to his own players that this is what we're going to do. If you come here, develop, work hard, and become a good player, which we think you can be, you're going to be paid. You are the guys we are going to be paying. Well, finally, after 3 years of having to bring injured guys in to get to the salary cap floor, which Adams would always say, we're not going to do this forever. But people would say, yeah, right. Sabres are cheap, type of thing. This is what you're going to be doing. Nobody believed him. But now he can prove it. And now he is proving it. He's showing his players that he's not all talk. That, hey, I told you guys, if you come in, you listen to what we do, you develop the way, have a good attitude, want to be here, we will pay you. And now three players have gotten that, have earned that. And coming up next year, Rasmus Dahlin, Owen Power. One day, I believe J.J. Paterka and Jack Quinn will earn that. And they're not there yet. But I think they are going to be good hockey players. And, we'll have their day in the sun too, but they're still finding their way right now. So I think it's a very good way to build a team, the way that he's done it. I mean, you talk about, this, them being so close as a team, and Sal, you and I are totally on the same page when it comes to culture. A lot of people laugh in our faces when we bring up culture. It's like, well, every team tries culture. True. Every team tries it, but it takes a individual like Sean McDermott or an individual like Kevin Adams and Don Granato to make it work. Just because you say that's what you want to do and everybody says they want to do it doesn't mean you're going to develop a program that's going to work at. It takes a special coach or a special GM to make it work. And I think
because you have to have the buy-in. People, the messaging from them is the reason the buy-in might or might not come. And I want to go back to what we talked about earlier, about a half hour ago, about Eichel. I know you were listening. This isn't to try to slam Jack Eichel, but he clearly was not the kind of person that you could say, hey, by the way, this is all about you now. And every decision was made about him. And we all know now that that wasn't the personality that he was conducive for. And I said to Joe, we had a great discussion about if you put him on this team now, Joe said, would he hold him back necessarily even from growth? I think he might, to be quite honest with you, because of this point.
I agree. And I'll use Tage Thompson as an example. Eichel's last year here, they started the season with Tage Thompson on his wing. And Tage Thompson couldn't get rid of the puck fast enough. Every time it touched his stick, where's Jack? Where's Jack? And then if Tage Thompson made a mistake, Jack would do the waving his arms and shaking his head, go back to the bench. And Tage Thompson sees that, and, I made Jack mad. That's how Jack didn't have team building things. Jack wouldn't be down in Bahamas with 6-7 guys. He'd be off somewhere by himself. It's like he's too good for that type of thing. And that's not the way he handled himself. That's not the way a lot of those guys. You wouldn't have had 6 or 7 guys down in the Bahamas together because that's not that team. That's not the way they hung out. That's not the way they treated each other. And I think a lot of people would have taken a back seat to that's Jack Eichel. So, maybe Dylan Cousins was too. Well, I don't want to step on Jack Eichel's feet, type of thing. And there was a lot of that. And Terry Pegula, I think, felt that betrayed by Jack Eichel because what you're saying is exactly right. Everything was done to make Jack Eichel happy. Here's your big contract. Here's the captaincy. We better make Jack the captain because, we don't want him to be mad. So we better make him, even though he shouldn't be captain, but we better do it. And we better bring in Taylor Hall because we don't want Jack mad. And he's starting to get mad. He's starting to bring up that maybe he doesn't want to be a – so let's bring in Taylor Hall so he's not mad anymore. You can't do a franchise that way. And then in the end, you did all this for Jack Eichel, and what did he do? He asked to be traded. He did it anyway. He did exactly what you were afraid he was going to do. Why were you afraid he was going to do it? Because you know Jack Eichel. And I totally agree with you, Sal. I don't think things would be the same if he were still here.
All right, so let's turn it back to positive in this team and, you know, what they're heading towards. You just brought it up, Dahlin, Power. You have some others on the list. Well, how does this go down? Like, is this something that gets kind of put on the back burner because they've kind of spent the money already and you do have these guys under control? Is it something that maybe they get to even sooner rather than later, like they did with Thompson and Cousins in this case?
Oh, I think they get to it next year. Now, when it comes to Owen Power, let's start with him. I have no idea. I mean, this guy is only in his first full season. The next year when he's eligible, because they burned a year of his contract by him playing a little bit last year, and that often happens when you sign guys like that. Agents want you to burn that first year. So I don't know where Power would fit in. I don't know. All right, do you sign him for 7 years? What do you pay him? You know, he's still becoming Owen Power. I mean, he's still getting better every game, but next year, is he going to be, you know, where he's going to totally be? No. I mean, so I just don't know where he fits in. I have an idea where I think Dahlin fits in, and I think is the highest paid defenseman in the NHL. Right now, that is Erik Karlsson at $11.5 million. Next is Drew Doughty at $11 million. Both are in their 30s. The only young defenseman next is Zach Werenski of Columbus, which I knew he had gotten a big contract. I guess I forgot because I thought when I'm looking it up, I go, really? He's the third highest paid D in the NHL? He's around 9.3, 9.4 per year. Zach Werenski is a nice player, but I'm not paying him 9.3. That's when defensemen like Zach Jones is getting overpaid. Darnell Nurse, a pretty nice player, but he's not a $9 million hockey player. You know, so I see Dahlin maybe approaching $12 million next year when it's his turn, especially if the salary cap goes up. Now, he could do with Thompson, because a lot of people are saying, what were Thompson and Samuelson doing? Why did they sign? Because they could have gotten a lot more if they just would have.
I heard that about Cousins yesterday. Mm-hmm. I had a discussion with someone yesterday who said, like, man, this, like, what, Cousins should not have done this. But great he did it for the Sabres, but he should have waited. I've heard that.
And Dahlin loves this team, and he wants to win so badly here. That letter he wrote to the fans was not BS. It was not. It was from the heart, and he meant every word of it. So maybe Dahlin does say, all right, I'll play for 10. You know, I don't know. He might do that. But if Dahlin got 12, I wouldn't bat an eyelash because I think there's still more. I think we're seeing a great hockey player now, and I think he's even going to get better than he is right now.
Right. It might come down to how hard does the player even want to push it, Paul? Because if, like, Cousins, like, sure, I think he's worth more than $7.1 million, but what's the path that he has to go down to get that? What does he have to go? If he wants $9 million someday, sign a bridge deal 2-3 years down the road. Like, we're talking about a lengthy process. Where I could understand where the player just wants to say, all right, it's good for the team. It's a lot of money. I'm right there with Tage Thompson. I'm not going to quabble for 4 years to get an extra $1.5 million per year.
How did you like how Adams fit that, too? He didn't have much wiggle room because you want Thompson to be your highest paid forward. But Boldy, a winger in the same draft as Cousins, doesn't quite have the same numbers as Cousins. But he got 7 for 7. Well, Cousins is a center, so he should get a little bit more. So they just wiggled him in. There's Thompson at 7.14. Here's Boldy at 7. And here's Cousins at 7.1. You know, just to get him in there where, all right, Tage Thompson's our superstar. He's still making more money. But I really like the way they were able to just fit him in that little hole there.
Paul, a couple of housekeeping items. First, on the team itself, give us a timeline of what happens. I know Adams is speaking with you guys tomorrow. Team returns. Can you kind of walk us through all of that?
Yeah, he's at 2. Team heads to the ice at 3. So I imagine the planes from the Bahamas are fired up, ready to roll home. there are a lot of them there. I mean, they had a picture of Thompson on the beach. He took Dahlin's place there. Dahlin's there now. But he went right after the All-Star. But Thompson was there, and he took a picture of him and Cousins on the beach, and he was congratulating Cousins on his contract. And that stuff's real. I mean, Thompson does feel great for Dylan Cousins. They're happier for teammates getting those things than they are for themselves. That's how these guys are. That's the chemistry that these guys have and how much they like each other. And how much they, all right, guys, we've got all this whole time off. We got 9 days. Where are we going as a group? I know of at least six of them that are down there. Maybe there's more that they all just say, all right, guys, let's get a plane. Let's go. You know, let's get on a plane and let's go. And they're down there vacationing together. That's how these guys are. Dylan Cousins is at the World Championship last year. Him and Darlene have a fun thing in the newspaper where Darlene's ripping Cousins. Oh, I know how to get to Dylan Cousins. And then Dylan afterwards, after Canada win, goes, well, how'd that work for him? You know, type of thing. And next thing you know, there's Dylan Cousins buying candy in Sweden with Darlene. You know, after the World Championships, he heads over to Sweden to hang out with Darlene. That's how these guys are. You want to know how to build a team? That's what Button was talking about in that interview you referenced earlier, Sal.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that today. I went back and listened today, and I thought that was awesome.
Well, he's a good hockey man, but it's if you're a Sabre fan, as I wrote when I said it, I go, if you're a Sabre fan, you're going to enjoy listening to this. If you have any maybe doubts of where this is heading, this is a good hockey man telling you that what Kevin Adams is doing is the right way to go. And it's almost an innovative way to go right now where, you know, it's these are our guys. We're going to develop them. We're going to go out and get good guys first. They got to be good. So we're going to draft good guys. We're going to acquire good guys. And then we're going to pay our guys. And three guys have experienced that.
Question for both of you. Did you watch LeBron's record-breaking performance last night, Joe?
I had to wake up very early, Sal. So I did. What time do we think that happened? Like 12:30?
Yeah, I was trying. It's halftime. I'm like, he's going to do it, I think, but I can't. Did you happen to see it this morning? Anything, Paul? Did you see it?
I watched it live.
All right. Awesome.
So it was awesome. It was fun. It was fun to watch. I don't know if I want to say this because I don't want to hear about it.
Hot take coming
from Paul.
I want it now. We got to have it now.
I enjoyed it immensely. The fans loved it. The Lakers needed to win that game.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And, yes, I agree.
And
that's a good
LeBron point. Acted like he was on the playground. He had no thoughts of the Lakers have to win this game. And I know how exciting it must be to be the all-time leading scorer in the NBA. And I don't know how I'd react. I'm hoping I would not have this great big smile on my face because I'd be sitting there. We're down by whatever it was at the time, eight mm-hmm. points or whatever. We need this game. And everything, mm-hmm. I don't want this all about me type of a thing. I hope that's what I would be thinking. Now, I've never been in the situation, so I can't say that's the way I would be. But that's how it struck me that – the winning of the game and trying to get into the playoffs didn't seem to be like the furthest thing from everybody's mind there.
Do you think, maybe this is an easy question, they stopped the game for what, 10 minutes? They had like a little ceremony.
Yep.
Kareem like handed the ball off to him.
And that's all fine and good. They should do that.
Would you assume that if Alex Ovechkin breaks Wayne Gretzky's record, the NHL will do the same thing or something similar?
Mm-hmm. Okay. When Phil Esposito was traveling around when Wayne Gretzky was trying to break his record here in Buffalo. By the way, I did call that game for NBC Radio.
Wow.
No way, really?
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
83, right? 82, 83?
Yeah, it was weird, too, because they needed – I was their guy here, and they needed somebody to do it. And my first program director in Attica, New York, we were listening. He was listening to a tape. It's called Time Capsule. It was a feature that you could sell the feature, and they do a time capsule. And he heard it, and he came to me. He goes, boy, this sounds like you. Is this you? And I go, yeah, it is. I go, they must have sold it to him. NBC Radio must have sold it to
him. I didn't know that story. That's a great story. I know that Burt Reynolds and Goldie Hawn were in the audit at the time. It was 82, by the way. They were filming the movie Best Friends in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of pictures. Bill Wippert actually took several of them that I've seen. And there's a lot of pictures of Burt Reynolds and Goldie Hawn and Mark Messier and Wayne Gretzky and, you know, Wayne's dad, big Sabres fan, right, growing up, and they were big Gilbert Perreault
fans. I was just starting out. I didn't even have my first radio job yet. I was just starting
That's
out because I started out as a freelancer looking for my first radio job, and I worked for NBC. They needed somebody to do it. I had done play-by-play in college. That's about it. I had no doubt I could do it, and so that was my break to do that. So it was a lot of fun, and
I'm glad that Joe brought up the Gretzky record because it actually was the next follow-up I had with you guys about LeBron. By the way, don't feel bad about that LeBron point. I'm a LeBron fan. I'm actually I follow the Lakers more than any other team. I grew up rooting for the Lakers. I thought the same thing. Did they win the game? And I thought it was kind of weird that never heard about that kind of thing. Like, well, I'm disappointed we didn't. Maybe he did say that afterwards. But
the fact they're in 13th place might hurt that a little bit too.
Maybe. But they do have that extra play-in thing now they do, right?
Yeah,
so they're
right.
Not
that's
as far away as you think. But I do want to ask you, Paul, about the Gretzky record at Ovechkin. I feel really guilty sometimes because I kind of don't want Ovechkin to break Gretzky's record. And I think that's selfish because I don't hate Ovechkin. It's just that I revere Gretzky so much and his record so much, and I think how great he is that I don't want it to fall. You know what I mean? Does that strike you as weird?
I didn't think he would. I didn't think at his age he would be able to continue to score goals like he always has at his age still. That's why I said when we were talking about the Horvat contract, it was like, 28 years old. His contract goes till he's 36. There's one guy that I signed that contract to, and that's Ovechkin, because he's still producing at 36. Or Sidney Crosby. Those guys are freaks. And those are the guys that I'm going to sign to that contract. It's not Bo Horvat. And that's a contract I believe the Islanders will regret in X amount of years. But I digress. And the thing about Gretzky is, too, I think for sure he will be there because he knows how to handle it because he watched Phil Esposito handle it for him. And Phil Esposito was with him for a while as he tried to break the record and was here in Buffalo when it happened. So Gretzky has seen how it's done. So that's why I think he'll definitely be there.
Also, Sal, he does have a lot of other records, so it's not like they're all getting broken, right?
That's right.
Points record is just unbelievable. I was just looking up. He's at 2,800. So for comparison, if Connor McDavid had 105 points every year until he's 47 years old, he would still be behind Gretzky. So he's got one that's definitely unbreakable.
Yeah, and I always say this. He's the best hockey player I've ever seen. I mean, I didn't see Jean Beliveau or any of those great Canadians or that type of thing. And I saw Gordie Howe at the very, very end of his career. But just like I always say, O.J. Simpson's the best football player I've ever seen, but I never saw Jim Brown. And a lot of people say Jim Brown's the best that's ever. I don't know. I didn't see him. But, you know, O.J.'s the best I've ever seen. And I'll say that about Wayne Gretzky, best hockey player by far I've ever seen.
Paul, thanks for this. Tomorrow, get back after it, buddy. So we'll hear from Kevin Adams tomorrow. I know you'll be down there and practice as well. Appreciate you joining us today, buddy.
It's been too long. I'm starting to miss it.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, I need to get down there.
There you go. Thanks, Paul. It helps when they're winning. All right, Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here on the Extra Point Show.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It won't be easy.
And yeah, what do you think?
The problem with Tom is the whole world is going to watch. Everybody wants to see how he does. And if he doesn't meet expectations of you guys, you're going to say it. I don't think criticism is something that's come his way in his 20, I mean, years.
He's not used to it.
Yeah, I don't think. I know a lot of these superstar quarterbacks that get criticized in a degree. They don't take kindly to it. But Tom will put the work in. But TV is me and you.
Terry Bradshaw talking about Tom Brady as he transitions into his career, next career, which will be television coming up in 2024.
He's not doing anything this year. Opens him up for...
Apparently, that's right.
It keeps him open for, you know, 2 months from now. He's like, yeah, you know what? I kind of miss OTAs. Kind of miss training camp, being with the guys.
Yeah.
This guy won't go away.
Hey, Joe.
Rodgers, meanwhile, is more insufferable with his dark whatever he's doing now. What is it? The
Dark Retreat?
The Dark Retreat.
Right? Is that what it's called?
He's going to be in a tiny house for doing nothing for Fort.
I know.
What? I don't know.
I know. Did you see, speaking of team building, where the Sabres are, the tweet from the account Blackhawk Up?
Yeah.
That's been gaining traction.
I did. Okay. Yes.
And this person, whoever runs this account, has been getting dunked on, right? But it is part of a larger discussion. I don't mean to continually pile on this person, but I will tell you what they wrote. And I do want to ask a question about this. Blackhawk Up on Twitter, which is an account covering the Blackhawks, basically what a blog from Fansided.
It's a Fansided account, yeah.
Says, here it is. J.J. Paterka, Sabres 2023 first rounder, the Knights second rounder the Sabres own, for Patrick Kane.
It's so bad.
It says, if you were Patrick Kane, wouldn't this make sense? I don't know what that means. Like, I guess for Patrick Kane to say yes, but because he has this no trade clause. The point is, no way would the Sabres need to do that. If the Sabres were in a different spot right now, challenging for a cup, I would entertain this idea, Joe. That is not where they are right now, so no way would I do something like this.
I wouldn't even do it. Even if they were in contention for a Stanley Cup. There's three parts to this trade, right? Not one of the three parts would I trade straight up right now for Patrick Kane. I would not trade J.J. Paterka for him. I would not trade the Sabres' first-round pick in a million years. And I would not even trade the Knights' second-round pick. The Kane is on an expiring contract. Mm-hmm. Like, he could walk away for nothing in the offseason.
That's right.
The only reason to believe that you might think he wants to be a Sabre is he is from here. We have never actually heard from him a desire to be here. And, in fact, he has stopped coming here in the summer for like the last 5-6 years. So, I have no reason to believe he wants to be a Sabre. Of course, it could be possible if he wanted to play for his hometown team. But what's to say I trade for him and he doesn't just walk away and go to a Stanley Cup contender in July?
Okay, that's right. And all those points are correct. And so to me, I'm thinking more broadly of if you want a guy like Patrick Kane to get you over the hump and at the time of your timeline and the build right now. And you're right about all of that. If he was under contract for two more years, maybe you think differently. And I would also back down from what I just said, that I would think about this if they were a cup contender. But at some point, Joe, something like this is going to happen with this team. At some point, they're going to be a buyer at a deadline because they have a chance to do this. And you need to start thinking about what that looks like, because they are going to have a lot of prospects and they're going to have a chance and a look at it. That's not this year, but maybe next year, whether it's Patrick Kane or someone. These things are going to start happening now with this team.
That's true. The reason why I have optimism about this team going forward, though, is when it comes to making a trade like that, it's not going to be a Patrick Kane. Because a Patrick Kane right now, if you look at his impact on the ice this season, he is as big a liability as he has ever been in his entire career. He is one of the worst players in the National Hockey League in his own end. He is much worse than he used to be at creating offense, and that's a lot of like the advanced numbers you would look at that say that. But also, the one thing you've had to go on in the past with him is, well, look at the point totals. Like last year, he had 92 points. This year, 35 points in 46 games, and he's playing 20 minutes a night. For the amount of ice time he's getting, that's not that impressive a number. In fact, Sal, he has 2 goals at even strength this year in 46 games. 2 goals.
How much does it matter that they're pretty bad, though?
It matters a little bit. They are horrible. I think he would have better numbers here on the Sabres in a protected role. But I do not believe he is the difference maker that he once was. And the Sabres are as analytically inclined as any other team in hockey. They have probably, I think it's the second or third biggest data department behind the Toronto Maple Leafs. So I think that data and a lot of these numbers are driving a lot of their decisions. It's why I think, and part of the reason they got to Cousins. Cousins is a better numbers guy this season than actually his goals and assists would tell you. I don't think this front office would get to a player like that in terms of his production. If you want to ask me about another player that's 34 years old in a rental, like, yes, I think they'll get to a point where they'll make a trade like that. I just hope it's for the right guy like that.
So what kind of guy is that with the way that this team is currently constructed? Let's just say right now they were in the mix. We'll give them 10 more points. I don't know. Like, what kind of player fits that for this team? Or maybe projecting out, hey, you know what? Next year, whether it's free agency, trade, more so of a trade, even if it's a guy they're not going to keep long term, like, what are they missing here then?
I mean, they're missing depth defense, but like, sure, they could use another scorer. I mean, they don't really need one. It would be nice. Honestly, this doesn't work because Dallas is good, but I was thinking about Joe Pavelski. Joe Pavelski is actually older than Patrick Kane. He is 38, but he's having an incredible season, and he is driving a lot of the play and a lot of the numbers that he is getting. And if a guy like that were available, about to be a free agent, and he's older at 38, but the Sabres are a legit contender, I'm into that. I just want it to be someone that isn't over the hill or isn't, you know, relying upon ice time to see their production. Just being smart about it if they're going to do it. Positionally, though, I still think depth defenseman is the position that makes the most sense for this team.
I do not want to sound like old school hockey guy. I know this will come off that way in some way. Do they need to be a little tougher?
I don't think so. I mean,
and I'm not talking about fighting people. Remember when we had Andrew Gross on, and he said the way the Islanders play, that heavy game, and they can match up with the Bruins, and whether you agree or disagree, it just got me to thinking, what if the Sabres had to play a heavier game? Are they able to do it? Because we know they can be high-flying. We know they can score. What if they had a matchup? Because they're going to have matchups now in the playoffs, and could they match up with a team if they had to play a heavier game?
I mean, I don't really think so. In fact, I got to find this. I think the Sabres are one of the biggest teams in hockey. And I know big doesn't always necessarily mean tough, but the teams...
Well, it's big because they have guys like Tage Thompson and Alex Tuck who are a little bigger who can fly.
Right.
Or be really skilled, right? I mean, that's right. And, you know, Cousins is a tough guy and he's a little bigger. I don't know if I want to take the point of being that big, though, but heavier. Like, I mean, like being heavy on the puck and being tougher to get the puck away. Things like that, not just the skill that goes along. Again, I don't want to sound like, oh my God, they got to get tougher, get all these fighters and go get Ryan Reeves. I'm not saying that. I just wonder how they match up with teams like that as they go forward.
I don't worry about it too much because I don't think a lot of the great teams are actually built like that anymore.
Okay.
In fact, like Boston, I think, is actually the opposite. Boston has gone all in on skill and speed. In fact, this might surprise you. The team that I think plays the heaviest and plays the most physical right now that's going to be a playoff team is Tampa. Tampa is that team right now. Tampa actually, as I'm looking at this, they are the biggest team in hockey. And their speed has kind of gone away a little bit as some of their guys have gotten older. So
yeah, they've transitioned from that other team to this team kind of in the last couple of years, haven't they?
That's right. I don't mind a line being a little bit more physical than the rest of them. I just wouldn't, and I don't think you're arguing for that anyway, I just wouldn't want my whole team identity to be surrounded.
Right. No. And I'm wondering just about a guy or two, like that's the kind of player like going forward they have to think about here. I love, today came out of just trying to think about how this team was built and where they're going, because I'm very excited about, you know, what they have and Dylan Cousins, he signs the contract extension, Tage Thompson, and I think there are really, really, really bright days ahead for the Buffalo Sabres. We'll take a timeout, we'll come back, we'll wrap things up here on a Wednesday on WGR.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Joe, I may have found worst take? Maybe someone could defend it. I don't know. Maybe I'm looking at it wrong.
Trent Dilfer?
It's hot take week for the Super Bowl, right?
Is this the Trent Dilfer thing?
No, I haven't seen that. What's Trent Dilfer?
Trent Dilfer said that Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are not impressive to him.
Okay, Trent.
Their careers. It's really bad. Maybe we could play that tomorrow or something.
Oh, my gosh. Elliot Shore Parks is actually me over at WIP, our sister station in Philly. Do you know Elliot? You know who he is, right?
Yep.
So Elliot, I'm sorry. I got to call you out on this. Elliot Shore Parks, go check it out on Twitter. He wrote, if you built the ideal QB from scratch, you'd build a QB closer to Jalen Hurts than Patrick Mahomes. That's just a fact at looking what matters in today's NFL.
And then he wrote, that's ridiculous.
And then he wrote on top of that, his next follow-up was, my takeaway from reactions, because he was getting a lot of are you kidding me reactions, are that people continually, intentionally underrate Hurts and what he's accomplished because of preconceived notions. Mahomes is great. He's better now. Hurts checks more boxes when building a QB. No, Elliot, what are you doing? Stop.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Stop.
What box does Hurts check that Mahomes doesn't?
I don't know. So, I don't know. Check it out. It's something we can discuss tomorrow. We'll talk more Super Bowl, more Bills, get back into football a little bit tomorrow, and the Sabres back at it tomorrow, and they are back on the ice after practice and their day off. Kevin Adams will meet with the media at 2 p.m. That's tomorrow. Today, Sabres Live up next on WGR.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.